Isn't this a sports show?
Clinton has said accurately, I might add, on the Facebook page. Almost entirely sports. A show where Josh reads all of his tweets. And I have no counter-argument to that. That is true and fair.
Almost entirely.
Excuse me. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I am Joshua Briscoe. Rudy with the reverse slam. Beard with a judgmental gaze. What's up, Beards? How you doing?
I'm here.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I will not take for granted the fact that we continue to talk about actual football games that have mattered and will go on to matter. And I will, with everything in my heart, not immediately be diverted by a handful of stories like what Beards told me moments before the show began, that Dwight Howard bought a purple car because he respects Thanos from the Avengers.
And his ability to, like, purge himself of emotions.
Sacrifices. I believe I saw the word sacrifices.
Yep, there you go.
Look, do I want to talk about that? Absolutely. Don't want to talk about the fact that the Royals went and the Royals allowed the Chiefs to go practice field goals. Winchester, Colquitt, and Harrison Butker all went to Kauffman to practice field goals because Oakland is still, in 2019, teams are still being forced to play on dirt. Do I want to talk about that? Of course I do. And in some ways we will, because we can actually look ahead now. It's only Wednesday, but it's the last time you're going to hear from me and Beards this side of Chiefs Raiders. So welcome to the next 2 hours of Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Josh Briscoe. Beards is hitting all the buttons. No Rudy tonight. I think he'll be back next week. He's getting sick and there's a bunch going on. It's fine.
He does not have the bubonic plague. You don't need to worry.
He does not have the bubonic plague, nor is this a consequence of his disrespect towards Dick Justice. I know that was something that was sort of going around the rumor mill. Maybe he had aggravated the kitten. He is not. He's not been put on any exemption list.
The kitten is always disgruntled, but it has nothing to do with Rudy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is not him being put on the Almost Entirely Sports commissioner's exemption list. Which, by the way, like, man, there have been some things. Obviously, we touched on briefly last night the development of Antonio Brown. There's nothing really new except for he was practicing for the Patriots today, not wearing the helmet that he was purported to be wearing. Someone said that it's supposedly
the
a newer
Zenith
helmet.
Shadow or
it's
whatever.
Not the Zenith one. It doesn't have vents in the front. So I wish we could still make fun of Antonio Brown, but honestly, right now, everything's very touchy, so I'm going to leave that one be. Although O.J. Simpson continues to have the world's wildest Twitter videos. That's on the table. We'll see if we get to any of those things over the course of the show. But we actually do have Chiefs things. That warms my heart. Plus, we're going to continue our sweep of The Athletic. Yesterday was Seth Kizer. Today, we'll talk to Nate Taylor of The Athletic coming up here at 9 o'clock. We got some audio today. We got some updates today. And over the course of the day, I found what I believe to be a sort of synthesis between both sides of the ball for the Chiefs. So wait a second. What now do these two things have in common? I got injury updates for you, by the way, on Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. But whenever I was thinking about what all is happening here, again, on both sides of the ball for the Chiefs, what is the stuff that both sides have to prove over the next 3 weeks, I found a lot. And you could say 3 weeks is kind of arbitrary, but I have one thing on each side of the ball, two things total, that are very much not arbitrary things, very concrete, specific things on both sides of the ball that I think are going to be good signposts of where the team is at, let's say in week 5. And then there's also the arbitrary stuff of like how coaches and teams talk about splitting the seasons into quarters. For some reason, I have Todd Haley's voice in my head talking about that. Andy Reid, I don't believe, has sort of hammered that into the psyche of the Chiefs as a team or of Chiefs media or anything like that. But lots of coaches do talk about breaking the season down into quarters. And I think that I think that with the updates we got today and some other things I've had in mind, looking back on week one, I don't want to try to evaluate anything that's going to happen in week 10 for this team because, first of all, I feel really good about where this team's going. Not to give you spoiler alerts.
To the Super Bowl!
I mean, it's kind of what it feels like, man. Listen, I don't know. The Patriots could have... Think about this. Come Super Bowl time, Tom Brady could be throwing the ball, completely removing things from the backfield. Tom Brady could be throwing the ball in the Super Bowl or in the AFC Championship game to Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, and Rob Gronkowski. Or he could be throwing the ball to none of them. All of them could very well be there, and all of them have a few things that could keep them from being in that spot come January and February.
What's the Edelman thing? Remind me.
Just being hurt.
Okay, that's fair.
Just being... He gets banged up. He did have a PED thing, though, didn't he? Didn't you? Hold on a second. We forgot about that, really. Football's funny that way.
Googling.
Yeah, no, I tweeted jokes about Julian Edelman's PED test. Yeah. Yeah. He got... my question is, was it four games? Let's see here. Julian Edelman, PED.
He also missed all of 2017 due to injury. So, you know.
That's where I was going. He had the thumb thing earlier this season. And it's not even like he's injury prone. He's just a little dude that gets banged up because football's hard. I mean, you could probably make a similar argument for Tyreek Hill, I suppose.
Yeah, he missed four games last year.
Thank you for also zooming in on the guy there that has the best chance of still being there in January. Thank you for undercutting my argument, Beards. Just say that you're welcome so I can move on.
You're welcome.
With all of the uncertainty with the Patriots and with all of the things with the Chiefs right now that I feel very good about and with the entire offseason from the Chiefs, they obviously, their expectations have not changed at all. They're not the Browns, who just had their expectations completely upheaved.
On national television.
To the Titans in a more competitive game. And they're not the Ravens, who just had their expectations totally drug the other direction against the Dolphins. So, like, no one's really sure what that means yet. The Chiefs have had one football game, and I don't think anything has really changed from an expectation standpoint, but there are things to be looking at that I think is really interesting. I was, by the way, going to break down why each of those Patriots receivers might not be there, but after saying the Edelman one, everything else at this point's pretty understandable. Rob Gronkowski is currently retired. Josh Gordon hasn't been not suspended. Actually, I think it may be like at any point in his career. I'm thinking about it. You can look that up for me, Beards. I don't think he's played 16 games. Antonio Brown, look at the last month of NFL media coverage.
He played in 16 games his rookie year, only started 13 of them.
And then the next year's when he popped off, right?
2013, he only played 14 games. I'm trying to figure out.
Doesn't matter. Did he ever play 16?
This is the rookie year.
Other than that?
No.
Since then? Great.
No.
So you can see the path there for the uncertainty. And you can make uncertainty for the Chiefs as well, of course. But and whenever Tom Brady is your quarterback, you are going to end up in the AFC Championship game. For the Patriots, it's more of looking at their ceiling, right? But I want to zoom it all the way in for the next 3 weeks for the Chiefs. For again, the quarter is one thing, but also because as we learned today, I mean, we're going to play you the Rick Burkholder sound here in a minute. He's the head trainer for the Chiefs, saying some stuff about Tyreek Hill, some big medical words, and then a phrase that's going to hit very close to home for you, dear listener, I imagine. But we're looking at a few weeks from Tyreek Hill. That was the report right after the game on Sunday. And then also, after week four, Mo Claiborne is no longer suspended. And I think the Chiefs' offense has a chance to prove some things while Tyreek Hill is out. And I think the Chiefs' defense needs to prove some things before Mo Claiborne gets here. And so we can cut this up however you want. But there was practice today and a media availability out at Arrowhead. I was out there for that. And I'm not going to give you every single clip here because some of it was, you know, I'm paraphrasing some things for clarity's sake. But like Andy Reid was asked, you know, so DeAnthony Thomas is back, and he's sort of similar in size and stature to Tyreek Hill, and he's been here before and done this before, but Mecole Hardman is like this super speedy young guy. Who do you think is going to take some of Tyreek Hill's workload? And Andy Reid's answer was basically, yeah. Well, wait a second. I asked you, yeah. Also, he mentioned DeMarcus Robinson knows everything in this defense, and he's very fast. Last week, down at the goal line, they ran that little sort of sweep, pitch, toss, handoff. It was in front of Mahomes. Technically a pass, but basically a handoff to Damian Williams. You know, that I imagine was probably supposed to be a Tyreek Hill play, or at least it would have looked better if it was a Tyreek Hill play. All that notwithstanding, there are a lot of options for what the Chiefs can do without Tyreek Hill, and in his absence, the offense is going to be lesser. By how much, I don't really know. And that's something I'm extremely curious to find out. There'd be a really easy narrative if they hadn't just signed him to a contract extension. Because if the offense looked great in his absence, the conversation would immediately become, hey, well, hold on now, should the Chiefs even be paying Tyreek Hill? Do they even need Tyreek Hill? Could this be Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson's offense next year? Just let Sammy Watkins go also? But Watkins goes off in week one, and Tyreek Hill signs his extension before week one. So those points are essentially, at the very least, very much minimized here. Even as, I should note, just because our schedule's been weird, I don't think we've really talked about it, the numbers and the structure on Tyreek Hill's contract is exceptional for the Chiefs. It is great general managing by Brett Veach and great management by that staff, because it's basically a year-to-year deal for the Chiefs with pretty easy outs each season. It's not a pure year-to-year deal, but it's not hard for them to bail at any point if they want to, which isn't just useful because of the incidents in Tyreek Hill's past, both recent and farther back, but also just for any receiver, for any NFL player. If every contract could be structured that way, teams would do it. I'm guessing because of the off-the-field stuff, that's why they were able to get Rosenhaus to agree to that. I don't know, but it's really good. It works out really well for the Chiefs, and it makes a ton of sense. Anyway, I digress. Working in his absence is going to be fascinating because Sammy Watkins was incredible in week one. Absolutely incredible. One of the best games I've seen played by a Chiefs receiver in my lifetime. Not an exaggeration. I don't know. Top five, top 10. I don't know. He was outstanding. Just exceptional. And Travis Kelce did not have like a big takeover game. I imagine that's largely because the Jags felt like they were going to devote more time to him, even as he was still very good and is impossible to cover. I don't know if that's the Chiefs saying we're going to go to Watkins more, if that's the Jags saying we're going to pay closer attention to Travis Kelce. I don't know. But the Raiders have the distinct advantage coming into this week saying, all right, we know there's no Tyreek Hill out here. How are we going to adjust? Now, look, an offense with the backfield of LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson is very good. But then the pass catchers of Sammy Watkins, at least the version we saw last week, and Travis Kelce and Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, and if you want to make it DeAnthony Thomas, go for it. That is still a very talented group of offensive skill position players. Extremely strong. But it's missing probably the single most explosive guy from that original group. And so seeing what the Chiefs do in Tyreek Hill's absence is going to be fascinating, because I want to be able to see them manage in a less than ideal situation, which is exactly what they did in week one. Because sometimes stuff happens. It could be an injury in a playoff game. It could be an injury in the weeks leading up to it that keeps someone out for longer. It could be an extended absence for Sammy Watkins, because that seems to happen all the time. I hope it doesn't, but it seems to. And right now, it's a decent-sized absence for Tyreek Hill. So I do think that there's something to be said for working within those confines and then seeing what Patrick Mahomes does with all of that. Plus, it's always interesting to me to have the conversation about how much a quarterback gets an advantage from his skill position players versus what they do to elevate skill position players. Like, you can find examples of this throughout all of NFL history, but like you've seen Tom Brady make Wes Welker and Julian Edelman and Chris Hogan, guys like that, Philip Dorsett looked like had a big game on Sunday night. You've seen him elevate those guys, but also his best season came whenever he was throwing the ball to Randy Moss. There is no binary answer. It's not just a zero or a one. Quarterback is either getting help or doing the helping. But I will be interested to see how the game plan also comes together because it's not just the skill position players for Patrick Mahomes. It's Andy Reid putting all of those pieces together. And I'm not throwing any sort of wet blanket over expectations for the offense the next few weeks. I expect it to still be one of, if not the best in the league without Tyreek Hill out there. Even as I do believe it will be worse without him. And that's kind of the place that we're in right now, which I think is fascinating. Anyway, that's something that they can be looking at over the next 3 weeks, maybe a few more, depending on how long Tyreek Hill is out. No reason to rush him back, I imagine. In the next three games are at the Raiders, and then the Ravens at home, and then at the Lions. None of those games are, like, the Ravens game is definitely the most interesting of those, for sure. But that one's an Arrowhead, home opener, and all that. The defensive side of the ball, I think, if you're going to look forward, is actually more interesting. Because I was underwhelmed by what happened against the Jags. However, they knocked out the starting quarterback. They created a couple of turnovers. They had a sack. And Gardner Minshew played really well. But he wasn't bombing the defense. Like, he was taking the short stuff and making things happen quickly. And like we talked to Seth about last night, and if you missed it, you can go grab the podcast. Just search Almost No Sports over your podcasts. Like we talked about last night, and I talked about afterwards with after Seth a little bit, getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds is really hard to get home before that pass has been made already. But Tom Brady is going to challenge you in that way in games that matter whenever it's cold outside. And so I feel sort of similar about the offense and the defense in the regard of, like, I see problems and also solutions, and I feel both one way and another. And I think that's probably just the sign of a really good team that is trying to be the best in the sport. Missing out on elements here, losing Tyreek Hill or not being able to get to the quarterback in 2.5 seconds is not going to make this team go from a Super Bowl contender to, you know, fighting for an outside shot at a wild card spot. But it could mean the difference between winning the Super Bowl and losing in the AFC Championship game. And that, while it's nitpicking and it's microscopic in some ways, I'm sure, that's the place the Chiefs are in right now, and that's thrilling. We get to do that kind of evaluation. And so, you know, if Chris Jones knocks out Derek Carr in the second drive in the first 10 minutes or whatever of the game on Sunday in Oakland, the Chiefs will win that football game. I think they're going to anyway, but, like, that's a pretty good, you know, nail in that coffin. And then if it happens against Lamar Jackson, and it happens against Matt Stafford, and then it happens against Jacoby Brissett, and it happens against Deshaun Watson, yeah, of course, you're never going to bet on that kind of, like, freak injury happening on a regular basis. And, like, I wouldn't even be able to, like, root for that also, but that's not really neither here nor there. But it's something that, you know, that made the Chiefs' offensive performance or defensive performance against the Jags more impactful. And if Chris Jones doesn't land on Nick Foles in a way that ends up popping his collarbone, I don't know what that defense looks like. And so I'm a little bit concerned about the defensive performance we saw from the pass rush on Sunday, because that's the thing that's going to determine how far this defense can go. And it's also going to be the thing that determines how far opposing offenses can take advantage of these cornerbacks, because that's the bet the Chiefs made this offseason was, let's reinvent our pass rush and that's going to take over. Now, here's where, I don't want to be an alarmist for no good reason. We've seen one game. And that's why I'm saying, I'm not saying we saw this game and now everything's terrible. I'm saying we saw this game, Now, let's keep an eye on this over the next 3 weeks. The Chiefs should not lose any of their next three games. I mean, realistically, like, what's the next game they should lose? Is it against the Patriots in Foxborough? That's on December 8th. So, the Chiefs shouldn't lose in fall, I guess. I mean, like, just like, let's, here. I feel like I've been a little bit negative, kind of by accident. Let's get happy. At Raiders, Ravens at home, at Lions, Colts at home, Texans at home, at Broncos, Packers at home.
Yeah, maybe.
Packers at home?
Yeah, maybe.
This is a good football team.
Yeah.
It's at Arrowhead.
They had a good week one performance.
Yeah, and it's at Arrowhead. The Chiefs had a good...
It's made me hesitate on that one more than it did before the season started.
I hesitate on that game because it's Aaron Bleeping Rodgers.
Sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We got a, maybe. Gun to your head. Who wins that game?
Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vikings at home. Listen, if Kirk Cousins throws the ball 12 times, Chiefs may be bleeped.
Maybe he breaks 100 yards.
At the Titans, listen. And this is something, Beards, that like I feel like maybe you're touching on with the Packers thing a little bit. This isn't the Browns. This is a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year, very close to winning it, got better this offseason. At the Chargers, there's no home field advantage, not just because it's the Chargers, but also because it's in Mexico. Raiders at home, at the Patriots, Broncos at home, at the Bears, which you can say the Packers had a good week one performance, and you're right, the Bears were on the other end of that one.
Their offense did not have a good performance.
Mitch Trubisky is who we thought he was, unless you didn't think he was who he is, in which case, now you know. And then at the Chargers at Arrowhead. Look, as far as games, when I said, you know what? I expect the Chiefs to lose this game. And I, even as I might pick them the week it happens, the Patriots is the only game on there that I feel that way about. Okay, so that's the joy that you should feel right now. Is that, like, you? No one would bet on the... Well, I shouldn't say no one. I wouldn't bet on the Chiefs going 15-1. Because, listen, if Patrick Mahomes' foot gets landed on a little bit differently in week one, this entire season's in the hands of Matt Moore, and I might not have shown up for work this week. Like, it would have been depressing as hell.
Would have worn your saddest hoodie.
It could have been 95 degrees. I would have been here in a hoodie, hood up, sunglasses on, because clearly I'd been crying.
As many rings on as you possibly could.
All of them. Eyeliner, just so it could roll down my face whenever I weep.
Dye your hair black again.
You know what? That might have been it. It's been a long time since I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... Did I work here? Whatever. Have you seen me with black hair in real life? Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when I did that.
That was early.
I did the really cool thing whenever I... So currently, if you're just listening, you won't know this. But if you know who I am, you will know this. I currently have dyed blonde hair. Bleached blonde hair, whatever. My natural hair color is like a light brown. I've done lots of... arguably dumb things with my hair over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. The dumbest, though, was that I dyed it black. Not the dumb... That on its own is not the dumbest thing. It was fun, whatever. I dyed it black, but whenever blonde artificially bleached, artificially colored hair grows out, the roots are darker, and if the roots are darker than whatever's up top, you've got a little bit of time where you can just... like, that can just be the thing where it's like it's still a pretty good look. In my opinion, I have it. Although I did need a haircut, and I'm going to get it a week from Friday. Which isn't just me telling you I have a very strict schedule for getting my haircut, because I actually don't, because there's going to be a whole thing, I think, which could be fun. Details on that to come. Or it all falls apart, and I'm just going to go to the same guy I always go to, and I'm going to still have a haircut, maybe sooner. But so, I did that with the black, and the problem with that is that as the roots grow out, they're lighter, and it's weird. And I didn't want to hang with that too much longer, but I also didn't want to shave my head, which I have thought about many times. But I didn't want to do that in this instance. So, all right, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I, over the course of like 3 days, went from pitch black to platinum blonde. And my hair has never forgiven me since then. Because what I attempted to do was, and like I looked on the internet, I was like, hey, you really can't do this. I was like, what does the internet know? I took my black hair, did all just bleach, see what would happen, basically. Not like drain, like hair bleach. Like I'm not an animal, I'm just an idiot. That's a liner, probably. And it turned my hair like Ron Weasley red, maybe brighter. I had about a day. No, you know what it was? You know what I straight up looked like? I looked like a red panda. I just looked like a red panda. So I was like, okay, well, this isn't really what I want. I don't remember if it was the same day or if it was like the next day. I think the same day I went for a second pass of the hair bleach. And it made my scalp bleed.
That's not a good sign.
Hey, friends, come real close. Don't bleach your hair twice in the same day. It's not good for your scalp. I think my mom was helping me do it, and she's like, she does highlights in her own hair. And so I've been doing weird bleed with my hair since I was pretty young. So she was helping me out. And like I got like scabs on my scalp. And so I rocked the red for like a few days and then like tried again. And it was not a good feeling, but like I didn't, in that moment in time, I didn't feel as if the ginger life was for me. And eventually, a couple of days later, we ran it back again, and I got to the whole, like, platinum blonde. But there was also a couple of nights where I borrowed one of my sister's, like, sleep caps and put, like, coconut oil on my scalp and, I think, like, apple cider vinegar overnight to try to get just my whole scalp to be less angry at me. How on earth did that story begin? I simply cannot remember. Where did we start? How did we get here? I was talking about the Chiefs defense. Nothing, Beards? I got nothing.
I can't remember at all.
Why did I?
I said something about you having black hair.
Yeah, you did.
And I don't remember.
And then I told that story. Why did you mention my black hair? Chiefs Packers? We need to take a break anyway. I've got further points to make about the Chiefs defense. I wanted to talk about it more. Beard, can you find where we lost our train of thought during
the
break?
I'll see what I can do.
Godspeed, I bet you can. It's Almost Entirely Sports here on Sports Radio 810. Nate Taylor of The Athletic in 30 minutes. Chiefs defense talk whenever we come back, unless I forget between then and now, which seems imminently plausible.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This is the best hair on the station, this show here.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Did you see that Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy are touring together next summer?
No.
It is, oof. The closest they get is somewhere in like Colorado. They go through Texas, and they don't come to, like, they're like a big stadium tour. So it probably would have been like an Arrowhead thing. Not happening, and it's really disappointing. Unsurprising that I would want to go to the Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy tour, given the fact that the last conversation that I just had was about me dyeing my hair black and then blonde. Like, clearly, I would want to be at that show. A couple of things, Thomas said on the Facebook page, that Rudy is, day to day, and that's extremely accurate. Rudy's not in tonight. He is literally day to day. We'll play Rick Burkholder sound here in a minute and give you all PTSD. Also, Buck tweeted in and just said, Chiefs defense, Packers versus Chiefs. I bleached my hair. I put vinegar on my head because it hurt. yeah, that's good. Also, Beards found out, we were talking about if Mahomes would have gotten more seriously hurt, I would have dyed my hair black and then come in again and come in for the show.
And then 5 minutes later, we took a break.
That's right. Everything else in between there was a blur. I dissociated from my body. I don't know. I astrally projected that entire segment. I don't know. There was something else I wanted to get to also that I've completely
something
forgotten
about.
The thing with the defense is that like the pass rush has to be productive because the Chiefs say it does. Essentially. Oh, there's another tweet that came in from Alexander that I thought was actually a really good point. I don't know why I sound so surprised. Maybe it's because his avatar is a photoshopped cat holding a beer and a remote control next to a bag of Lay's.
What kind of remote control?
TV remote control.
Oh.
Not a gaming one, I'm sorry.
Darn. I wanted to know what kind of gaming system this cat liked.
It appears to be a universal remote, so I can't even tell you the brand of the TV.
No.
He said, I kind of think this week is a test for the corners. Minshew got the ball out quick. Carr does as well, maybe quicker. I don't think Denver really pressured him on Monday. It's a really good point because Derek Carr.
Listen, I don't tell anybody I said this. Please, God. Beards, can you stop the podcast recording for this part?
I could hit the dump button.
Okay, I'm going to say this just so I feel better, then you can dump it. Just make sure no one ever hears these words come out of my mouth, okay, please? Beards, just whatever it takes.
Do what I can.
David Carr played David Carr. Unbelievable. Dump that.
I always get nervous around the cars. Sort of like, oh, by the way, oh my God, I get nervous around the cars. Beards, what happened 12 years ago today to you?
Oh, I got hit by a car.
12 years ago today.
Yep.
I get nervous around the cars because I can't get their names right. Beards gets nervous around cars because one of them plowed him over whenever he was, what would
listen,
that have been, 15?
Yeah. Listen, it was a Ford Escape. I couldn't escape it. These are the jokes.
You can't get new ones. All right, make sure you dump this.
Derek Carr played really well on Monday against a good defense with a good pass rush and at least one really good corner. Derek Carr might be okay this season, even though he does look like the grown-up version of Sid from Toy Story.
My finger slipped. I missed the dump button. I hit the replay button. No! It's just replaying that clip every second.
Does it keep the part about Sid from Toy Story?
Yes.
Okay, well, then it's fine. He played well, and so this tweeter's point, I think, is well-received. I don't know if Frank Clark's going to be able to get to D. Carr. Sounds like I'm saying this Ford Escape.
It was blue, by the way.
Playing quarterback for the Raiders. What's going to have to change then? I don't know if they're going to be able to get to Derek Carr in 2.3 seconds or whatever. What they have to do, though, is at least move him. They've at least, because this sort of happened to Mahomes against the Jags. He took some big hits. But it wasn't like free rushers for the most part in my mind, as I'm recollecting as well as I can.
It was he threw the ball and then
he got
hit from behind.
He
or something.
Got
yeah.
hit, but it
or
was
from
a,
the side.
It was a lot of pocket, sort of slowly crushing in like the trash compactor in Star Wars. The Chiefs need to move David unbelievable need to move. I almost cursed that time. They need to move Derek Carr off his spot. And if it's collapsing the pocket, or if it's moving the pocket, or if it's just getting one guy through every once in a while to disrupt his rhythm, that would all be well and good. That would all be good enough. But I agree that it's going to be a real test for the defensive backs, and specifically for the corners, because while the corners can only cover for so long, the pass rush needs to get pressure to make the corner's job not last forever. And still, the corners need to cover for long enough that they are able to get to the quarterback. It works together. Like that is a symbiotic relationship. And I don't know. I mean, right now it feels like the corners are still the side more likely to give that up. And so, again, the quarter, first quarter of the season thing is one part. But, again, Mo Claiborne coming back for week 5, I think he's going to start. And, frankly, I think it'd be better if he didn't. Because if he didn't, then it means everyone else played too well to be unseated. And, theoretically, the Chiefs' best corner is Kendall Fuller. And he played like 80% of the snaps on Sunday because he's been exclusively put into the slot now, despite not really apparently agreeing with the idea that he's even helpful to him. I asked him about that in training camp. And then Bashaud Breeland has looked really good. He looked good throughout camp, throughout the preseason, and he looked good on Sunday. But he's on a one-year deal, and also, like, it's a little bit of a roll of the die. It can still end on sixes and still have been a roll of the dice. And Treverius Ward is a developmental corner that I think in a more ideal situation you're developing as your fourth guy and trying to make him more comfortable in the zone. He's a pretty good man corner who has a really hard time getting his head around him whenever the ball is actually on its way down. But he seems totally lost in zone coverage, and Spagnuolo pretty much said that at camp one time he was talking about him, talking about the corners altogether. That's a problem. That is a problem. And so that relationship for me needs to be not solved by week four. That's because nothing needs to happen before the AFC Championship game for the Chiefs, other than they get there. And then once they're there, we'll see what's still happening. Because that's the timeline this season is on right now. You pencil the Chiefs into the AFC Championship game, which in a game as violent and as random as football, you don't do that for anybody other than the Patriots. But I don't know a lot of people that have a team other than after 1 week, you find me people that have someone other than the Patriots and Chiefs in their AFC Championship game, and I'd be relatively surprised if that's not the pick of the majority. You can say maybe the Ravens are there, or Beard is probably about to yell about the Browns. Yeah, go ahead.
Dang it, you stole my joke!
Yeah, go ahead and do it, though.
But what about the Browns?
You're getting predictable. Still a pretty good joke, though. I mean, that whole division right now looks like it's the Ravens to lose, and the AFC South is a dumpster fire, and the East is the Patriots, and the West is the Chiefs. I'm like, the AFC has never been more, it's not a monopoly. Is there a word for there being two companies? Because is you being a history major helpful for us at all here?
No.
Word for when two companies are in charge? I know there is a word oligarchy, but I don't.
That's the government thing.
I know. I mean, but like, I don't know. I'm trying to remember what oligarch. It's a small. Yeah, you're right. That's a small group of people, you know, having control of a country, organization, or institution. So maybe it's the closest to an oligarchy, but it's just two teams, and the people are just Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady.
The difference between monopoly and oligopoly?
Oligarchy?
Oh no, oligopoly. Oligopoly.
Are you sure? Oligopoly.
Yeah.
I would say like monopoly. Opoly.
Okay,
oligopoly.
Fine.
That's the worst board game. Okay, a state of limited competition in which a market is shared by a small number of producers or sellers.
Or duopoly.
Duolopoly makes sense.
Duopoly.
Duopoly.
Yeah.
Duopoly. There we go.
Two-player game.
That's a two-player monopoly game. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. In a duopoly, in duopoly, coming soon to Hasbro.
The winner is just whoever doesn't quit first.
Two players sit across from each other and just throw money at each other. Until one of them gets bored. Of having so much money. So yeah, the AFC is a duopoly at this point. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say this, the word duopoly. Hold on, let me make sure I've got. I'm going to go ahead and blast the. This Google Speak function is so useful.
Duopoly.
Yeah, duopoly.
Yeah.
I'm going to use this word as if I've known it my entire life on Sunday Sound Off in a couple of weeks and see if, like, Nick's head explodes. I'm going to use that word constantly. Duopoly. The AFC at this point is a duopoly. And nothing not opposite the Patriots really matters. And so, again, it's not that there's a sense of urgency in all of this stuff that I'm talking about tonight, but I think that we need to give a team with a new defensive coordinator and a new scheme and largely new players. You need to give that group the first quarter of the season and then reevaluate. Now, if we're talking about it again next week at this time, I'm probably going to be saying things relatively similar and also saying things like, we can't really evaluate this for 4 weeks, but here's where we are right now. But it's true. And by that point, other stuff will have changed. There will be other developments and everything. But just with the week one performance against the Jags, that's the timeline that I think we're on right now in terms of evaluation.
One thing I remember on the radio broadcast, though, near the end of the game, they were talking about like just the lack of the pass rush or whatever. And one thing that I remember being said was like Frank Clark got a lot of holding calls on him. So it was just like visually you didn't see like the sacks and stuff, but it's just kind of like that effect as well.
Sure, absolutely. I don't have the number for what he drew as far as penalties or whatever. So I'll take your word for it via Kendall Gammon probably.
That's just one thing I remember sticking in my head from the game.
Absolutely. So let's buy that. I would still have the larger question of, is that pass rush happy with their consistency? And I would assume not. I think tomorrow Spagnuolo talks. I won't be out there, but somebody will be. I might call in a favor and see if someone wants to ask. I might see if Lebo's going to be out there. I'd like to know if Steve Spagnuolo, if he's comfortable and happy with the amount of pressure they got on Sunday over the course of the game. And listen, man, not to say that a couple big plays isn't worth it. I'm not even saying the Packers had a bad game on Sunday. Like, again, the result there of the quarterback lasted two drives. And on the play he got hurt, he threw an incredible pass. Obviously for a touchdown. And that'll do whenever that one hit on Nick Foles is that lethal. Not literally lethal. He didn't die. But whenever it's
Jaguar
that damaging... Say again?
Jack seasoned it, though.
That's true. That happened slowly, though. That happened over the course of 60 minutes as opposed to in a moment.
It was fantastic.
I wonder if Seth told Seren about his Gardner Minshew Nick Foles take that I taunted him about last night and told him to tell Seren today. Seth Kizer said he might take Gardner Minshew over Nick Foles. I wonder if he asked Seren about that. I need to text Seth. I had a landing spot for this segment and that point, and then I got distracted again. So if that one hit is that effective, if it's that impactful on the game, then one hit will do. But in all likelihood, think of all the times that Mahomes took a big hit and it didn't break his freaking collarbone. I just would like to see more production and more consistency from a pass rush that the Chiefs have essentially told you is going to reform their defense because that's what they brought them in to do. That's all. That's the thing I'm keeping an eye on. Duopoly. Also, by the way, I haven't mentioned this yet, but the Chargers are probably losing Hunter Henry for the year again. It's like a horrible like knee bone issue. It might not actually be for the season. At this point, it's all a little bit up in the air, but it sounds, there are different forms of it and everything. Sounds not great. And apparently, Anthony Lynn says he's concerned about the knee of wide receiver Mike Williams. So right now, Field Yates summarizes, Derwin James is on IR, Melvin Gordon is not reporting, Russell Okung is on the NFI, Hunter Henry, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. I'm sure that timetable will evolve. Maybe it'll just be that, though. Mike Williams with a troublesome knee. That's the Chargers right now. The Chargers make me reconsider my lack of belief in jinxes. That's how cursed they are. Or not cursed, and just unlucky. Unlucky. Hard to tell. Duopoly.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're here for a one-on-one interview with our friend Travis Kelce. Travis, I know you listen to a lot of Almost Entirely Sports. What do you think about Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly?
I mean, I don't think they suck. I can tell you that.
Thank you, Travis.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Roughly 51 minutes ago, I promised you an injury update on Tyreek Hill. I keep my promises, just not punctually. We were out at Chiefs practice earlier today, and we heard from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. We'll get you some of that audio probably after we talk to Nate Taylor here in just a few minutes. But Rick Burkholder gave a pretty full update on the state of Tyreek Hill. This is interesting and useful information, and then he uses a horrifying, horrifying phrase towards the end.
So the last time I met with you guys, I told you we'd give you an update on Tyreek Hill. At that time, he was in Baptist Medical Center under Dr. Frickberg's care. before we left Jacksonville, he had the dislocated sternoclavicular joint reduced. He had that reduced without surgery and had it reduced under anesthesia. So All went well there. There was no damage to any of his vital organs or his vessels. He spent the night in Jacksonville at the hospital. My assistant, David Glover, was with him. They flew back here Monday. he started the rehab process Monday night and is going through that now. He'll be monitored throughout this period where he goes through the phases of rehab like any other injury. We'll do some testing with him to make sure that that joint stays in the proper anatomical position. And I know there's speculation out there about how long, but he's truly a week-to-week injury. He will be listed as out this week.
All right, a lot in there. First of all, football's a freaking crazy sport.
Ah, week to week!
Second of all,
day-to-day, no!
I don't want anyone to ever talk about my sternoclavicular joint ever. I'm literally, like, feeling it right now.
In the correct anatomical position?
Yeah, I hate that, because you know what that means? It wasn't in the correct anatomical position for a minute there. For a quick minute. And then also week to week. That's not what you want. If somebody tweeted, and I'm sorry for not having your name pulled up. Someone tweeted, the phrase week to week sounds really, really familiar. I just can't quite put my Achilles on it.
That's solid.
It's a really good joke that also hurts. Anything happening with sternoclavicular joint going posteriorly, basically think, you know, collarbone meeting at your sternum in the middle. There's a joint in there.
I broke my collarbone when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when you got hit by a car?
No.
Oh, wow.
That was in, like, kindergarten.
How many bones have you broken?
10. Like 3 or 4, maybe?
Number 0. Is that surprising? Not surprising is that Nate Taylor, the Athletics, joining us next right here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.